Thank you, Pastor. You may be seated. I've never preached a sermon on suffering in the Bible. I looked up the scriptures on suffering. Now, I realize the word suffer, the little children that come unto me, that's not the suffering, but the suffering that's real. I found two different divisions. There's 65 verses altogether that do deal with suffering. The first has to do with the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second division, the suffering of us, the people. But starting with the Lord Jesus, first of all, there's a prediction by him. He predicted that he was going to suffer. He began, the Son of Man must suffer many things. It says there in the scriptures in Mark 8:31. And then in Luke 22:15, he says, I'm going to do certain things before I suffer. The Lord Jesus knew when he went from heaven to earth, his mission was he was going to suffer at the cross of Calvary. It was predicted by him. He knew it. He did not try to evade it. He did not try to change it. And then the prophecies of his sufferings. In Luke 24:26, he says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? This was recorded in Scripture. It was a purpose. This was why he came. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Acts 3, verse 18, it says, God had showed by the mouth of the prophets that Christ should suffer. He has so fulfilled. The suffering was predicted by the Old Testament writers. Then in 1 Peter 1, verse 11, it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. These Old Testament prophets didn't know what they were writing. They didn't know anything about Calvary. They didn't know anything about the glory. But they wrote as God the Holy Spirit gave them the authority and the words in Hebrew and Aramaic in the Old Testament. And then the purpose of his sufferings. The Savior in Hebrews 2:9, Paul says, we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory of honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That's the purpose of his sufferings. Taste death for every man. We don't agree with the hyper-Calvinists or any of them that say he just died for the elect, just a certain group of people. He died for every man, every woman, every child in the whole world. That's the purpose of his sufferings. Then in 1 Peter 3, verse 18, Peter said, Christ also suffered once for sins. Not like the Roman Catholic Church says, every minute of the day all over the world, crucifying Christ, just once, the just for the unjust. We're the unjust. He's the just, perfect, impeccable, sinless Savior. Why? That he might bring us to God. And no man can, no woman can come to the Father except through the Lord Jesus Christ. As he says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then the sufferings of people in the Bible. There's 16 different categories I put this in. I've never had a sermon in my life that had 16 points. But that's why I thought you better have it in your hand so you can kind of follow along. First, there's suffering in dreams. Matthew 27:19. This woman, Pilate's wife, said, Pilate, honey, I've suffered many things this day in a dream concerning him. She didn't want Pilate, the husband, to send him out to be crucified. She did not want that. Suffered many things in dreams. The second point, sometimes they're suffering by physicians. In Mark 5:26, she had suffered many things of the physicians. Now, on the last page of your papers there, you'll see the statistics of medical and hospital errors. I'm not against doctors. I'm not against hospitals. But I want you to be sure to understand that they're from 270,000 to 400,000 every year deaths in hospitals because of lack of actual doing what they're supposed to do. Serious business. And so this lady, when she said, I've suffered many things with physicians, she wasn't in our hospital, but that's one of the things of suffering. Sometimes in hospitals, they meet death instead of cures. The third thing, we're called sometimes to suffer. In Philippians 1:29, Paul said from jail, from the Roman jail, it's unto you it is given. He's writing to Christian believers. He says, unto you, unto anyone who is genuinely saved, it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. That's part that goes with the Christian faith. Suffering for his sake. Called to suffer. Notice the fourth thing. The result of living godly. In 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul says, yea, to Pastor Timothy there at the church at Ephesus, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now notice, that will is not simply future tense. All who are willing, fellow, it's a word to live and to want to be living godly. Now those who don't live godly in Christ Jesus probably won't undergo suffering of any kind, but those that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Notice the fifth thing, Moses' choice. He had lots of things to live for. He was well-to-do. He was in Pharaoh's palace. But the time came when it says that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That was a choice. Not many of us would choose such a thing. To leave the multi-millions and billion-dollar palace and all the things that went with that, the wisdom of Egypt. But he chose to suffer the affliction. And sometimes we've got to be as Moses, to choose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to go along with the wicked world around us. The sixth thing, the prophets. In James 5 and verse 10, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken unto you the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Whether that's Isaiah, whether it's Jeremiah, whether it's Ezekiel, whatever the prophet was, whether it's Elisha or Elijah, they suffered. And there's an example to us to suffer, to undergo suffering. But not only the suffering, but the prophets gave them this example, how to deal with their sufferings. Not simply to suffer, but how to deal with that suffering. I haven't had too much suffering in the world. Your pastor's undergoing a very serious suffering, as you know. I had this cancer of the lymph glands called Hodgkin's disease 26 years ago, and I was ready to go home to be with the Lord. He stopped the suffering, he stopped the pain, stopped everything, and raised me up. But we have to undergo suffering, and sometimes we must realize we must be patient in that suffering. Patience is very difficult to achieve, especially when we suffer. Notice the seventh thing, suffering as a Christian. In 1 Peter 4:16, he says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in his behalf. Suffer as a Christian. Because we're saved, because we're born again, because we're a Christian, we sometimes suffer, and we should not be ashamed of that suffering. The world around us is not Christian. Our president is not Christian. He claims to be, but he's, as far as I'm concerned, he's a Muslim. But he's not a born-again Christian of any kind. And many of our leaders above and the powers that be have designated some 72 different groups and people that believe certain things, and he's designated them as potential terrorists. Potential terrorists, all 72 of them. I don't come with all 72, but I fall in maybe 40 or 50 of those myself. One of the categories is an evangelical Christian. Possible potential terrorists. That means Bible-believing Christians, terrorists. Sometimes we must suffer as a Christian. Christians are very strong in the Bible, if they believe the Bible, to say that homosexuality is sin, wickedness, corruption. And to say that sometimes in certain countries puts the people in prison and fines them. It might be in this country the same. Preachers that preach the Bible, that go into Romans 1 and all the other places where it's condemned in its sin. And certainly, same-sex marriages, wickedness, corruption, satanic. When we as Christians preach that, we may be put in jail one of these days. We have this special type of bill they have, forget the name of it, but some have interpreted that bill. If you say some of these things to offend anybody, whether it's adulterers or whether it's fornicators or whether it's homosexuals, whatever it may, a rapist, be put in jail. It offends people, see. That's whatever it is. But we've got to be strong, no matter what the cause, until the Lord calls us home. And sometimes that involves suffering as a Christian because we believe these things. Then notice also the eighth thing, suffering wrongfully. Suffering wrongfully. The Apostle Peter said, 1 Peter 4:15, let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer, or a busybody in other men's affairs and matters. We've got to be careful that suffering is not wrongful suffering. We should suffer if it's something else, but not wrongfully. We shouldn't be these evil things at all. And 1 Peter 2:19, it's thankworthy if a man, for conscience sake, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Sometimes people make us suffer even if we're right. And they're wrong in making us suffer. Sometimes we suffer in a wrongful way. We should take it patiently. And then in 1 Peter 2 and verse 20, it be when ye do well. If ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Doing well, whatever it is, whether it's preaching the gospel, whether it's living for the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's reading your Bible, whatever it may be, if you do well and suffer for it. Now that shouldn't be, should it? People that do ills and evil should suffer. But if you do well and suffer, God says, if you take it patiently, and that's difficult to do many times, it's acceptable with God. And then the ninth thing, the results of suffering. In 1 Peter 5:10, the Apostle Peter said, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. All those four things are sometimes the results of suffering. And only those of us who suffer many times can achieve these things. After you've suffered a while, just a while, not all your life or all your time, make you perfect, complete and mature, grown up, mature people, established, that is firm, not floating around and drifting as many of our churches and denominations and groups are drifting, but established. And then strengthened to be strong by suffering. Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Let the power of Christ rest upon me. Strengthen us and settle. Be settled and determined that you're not going to run away from that suffering. Those are some of the results of suffering. Then the tenth thing, suffering for righteousness. In 1 Peter 3:14, but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, that is just living for the Lord Jesus Christ and doing that which is right, if ye suffer, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. What type of terror might rate some of us who are Bible-believing Christians? Could be the terror of fines. Could be the terror of imprisonment. Could be the terror of the FEMA camps. I have no doubt in my mind but that the FEMA camps are coming. I have no doubt in my mind that born-again saved Christians that preach the gospel of Christ and believe the Savior will be a part of that situation, just like Adolf Hitler did in Germany. But suffering for righteousness' sake. We have an evil, wicked government in Washington, D.C., a horrible government. It's run by corruption. It's pushed by corruption. They don't care what righteous people do. They don't care what the Constitution says, which used to be called the Civil Bible of America. Our president has ruined First Amendment, Second Amendment, 14th, all kinds of amendments. And we have to put in our minds that some of these days, and don't say, well, it's going to escape me. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But some of us who are pastors and preachers, they'll get us first. And the Christians that they don't know are Christians, maybe that'll be next. But suffering for righteousness' sake. Preaching the gospel, righteousness, is something happier if this is the case. And then the 11th thing, suffering in the will of God. 1 Peter 3:17. For it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. If the will of God be so. Sometimes it is the will of God to suffer. Not always, but sometimes it is. But remember, anybody who is willing to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, suffering in the will of God. Notice the 12th thing, carnal Christians suffering. Carnal, fleshly Christians, born again, yes, saved, yes, but walking after the flesh, not in the power of the Holy Spirit, suffering for carnal Christians. 1 Corinthians 3:15 is talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Those who don't want to build on Christ with gold and silver and precious stones, things that are valuable, but they want to build on hay and wood and stubble, things that burn up, the trial of the fire, things that people can see, all the wonderful things they can see. And those who build on the hay, wood, and stubble, when the fire of the judgment seat of Christ comes through, all that they've built up on the foundation will be burned up. Then it says, every man's work shall be burned. And if any man's work shall be burned, those Christian believers who have carnally built on things that people can see and hay, wood, and stubble, those works will be burned, and he shall suffer loss. The suffering of loss at the judgment seat of Christ for carnal believers, saved Christians, that just live for themselves but not for Christ, suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. The judgment will be there, they'll be saved, but they'll lose all rewards, and they will suffer loss. Then the 13th thing, unsaved people suffering eternally. In Jude 1 and verse 7, talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what we have in this country, by the way. Sodom and Gomorrah. What's next? What's next? When our president says, wonderful, two men marry, two women marry, lesbians marry, homosexual men marry. We have a horrible Sodom and Gomorrah. I wonder, when is God going to judge this nation? When is he going to judge the world? You dare speak against any of these things, you're fired from some groups and some studios and some stations. But unsaved people suffering eternally. In Jude 1:7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Every lost, unsaved person will be in eternal fire. I believe eternal fire is fire. It's real fire. It's not just a figure of speech. Those that are lost, it's a sad thing. And that's why we must get the gospel out, preach the word, so that we may have them away from this terrible furnace of fire. Unsaved people that have lost Christ, have not trusted Christ as Savior and Redeemer, will go to that eternal fire. Then the 14th thing, a forewarning of suffering. In 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 4, verily, when we were with you, we told you. Paul told these Thessalonian Christians, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. Paul warned them. It's not a pink tea party, as they say, to when we're saved. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Redeemer, it's not all plus, plus, plus. There are lots of minuses. There's lots of sufferings. And Paul warned these Thessalonian Christians. The Roman government didn't like Christians. They didn't like Christ. They didn't like things that were Christian. And he warned these people that they would suffer tribulation. If you had a choice to come to Christ and suffer, if people had a choice, if you gave them a choice, what would they do? A lot of them would stay back if it was guaranteed suffering for Christ. But this is almost a guarantee. He told the Thessalonian Christians, you'd suffer tribulation, trouble, and it came to pass. Paul was accurate in his description and prophecy. Then the 15th thing, suffering for those that are close to you. He says in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, for ye brethren, these are Christian believers that he knew, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Your own countrymen sometimes make you suffer. Those that are close to you, in your same city, in your same county, in your same state, in your same country, in your same family, they're suffering. A lot of people don't understand all we know and what we do as Christian believers. And sometimes we get this suffering from our own countrymen close by, people that are close to us, that you think would want to encourage us, think they want to pray for us and say, fine. Sometimes suffering comes from those that are close to us. Finally, the 16th thing, Paul's example of suffering. In Acts 9:16, he says, the Lord Jesus, when he called Paul, that wicked, wicked Paul, killing Christians, imprisoning Christians on the way to Damascus, the Lord Jesus met him and stopped him dead in his tracks, blinded him, and said, one thing, Paul, I want to tell you in advance. One thing I want you to know right from the start. He says, we told you that before we should suffer tribulation. Then he says, I, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which are in Christ Jesus. And Paul says in Acts 9:16, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. The Lord Jesus told Paul in advance many things that he must suffer. And Philippians 3 in verse 8, he said, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Just think of the power that Paul had. Pharisee of the Pharisees, a leader of the Jews. And he left that. And he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Was persecuted, stoned. All these persecutions found in 2 Corinthians. Paul elaborates. And he left all. And I do count them but dung, refuse, that I may win Christ. That's an attitude that Paul had towards suffering. That should be your attitude, my attitude towards suffering as well. That's difficult to achieve, but Paul did it. In Philippians 3 and verse 10, Paul said that I may know him. Writing from jail again, Philippian jail, Roman jail, imprisonment, that I may know him, the Lord Jesus, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul suffered not anywhere near what the Lord Jesus suffered, but he wanted to have the fellowship of sufferings, and sufferings of what Paul had. And then Philippians 4 and verse 12, Paul says, I know how to be abased. I know how to be put down on the lower shelf, to be hurt, to be harmed. I know how to be abound. I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I'm instructed. This comes with instruction. It doesn't come naturally. You must be instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Some of us may be hungry as well when no food is on the table. When the truckers can't bring the food to our grocery stores. When people go in, the whole cupboards are bare. We may have hunger as well. We must be instructed. And to suffer need. He was instructed to suffer need and to live up and stand for Christ because of it. Then in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 10. For therefore, Pastor Timothy, pastor at Ephesus, he says, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially to those who believe. Paul was willing, and he labored, and he knew he suffered because of the cause of Christ. There's a few poems I'd like to read just in closing, then I'll turn it back over to the pastor. The More, this is written by Mrs. Waite's mother, my wife's mother, Mrs. Sanborn. It's one of her poems back in the poem book. The harder it is, the more that I love him. The weaker I grow, the more he is strong. The more that I need him, the more he provideth. Though faintly I see him, the more that I long. The greater the burden, the more he sustaineth. The more that I grieve, the more that he cares. The longer the day, the sweeter each hour. The sterner the test, the more that he bears. The more that he tries me, the more blessed the lesson. The more that I trust him, the more that I learn. Mom Sanborn had many sufferings. She lost a little girl, a daughter at age 21. One of the daughters was born mentally ill, and my wife had a malady from age 3 to 6 in the hospital with TB of the hip. So Mom Sanborn knew what suffering was. Then there's another one I'd like to leave you with, and I'll turn it back over to the pastor. Author's not known, but the title is, I Cannot Understand. The why and wherefore of 1,000 things, the burdens, the annoyances, the daily stings, but I can trust, for the perfect trusting, perfect comfort brings. I can see the end, the hidden meaning of each trial sent, the pattern into which each tangled thread is bent. I cannot see the end, but I can trust, and in God's changeless love, I am content. The Lord bless and honor your church and your pastor. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank thee that many things in thy word talk about suffering. We ask thee, Lord, that it may be an understanding to each of our hearts that there's a plan for Christian believers standing true to the Lord to suffer for his sake. Help us to bear that suffering and be patient as the prophets, and may our Savior be glorified in all that we do and say. Take care of the church, take care of this pastor, We pray for him in our church. We ask thee that thou wouldst continue to bless his ministry here and the churches and the people that are here as well. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.